You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere. Don't touch that dial. The John and Gordy Morning Show is about to begin. Be a part of the show. Call or text 608-879-8255 or use the free Civic Media app. And now, live from the Civic Media mothership in Madison, Wisconsin, here they are, John Peterson and Gordy Young.
Yeah. If only these two guys would stop bringing everybody down.
Good morning.
Hey.
Happy President's Day.
It's a beautiful day today in the neighborhood.
It's gorgeous. Sunshine. It's going to be beautiful all day long. It's going to look great. It's going to feel really, really cold all day for the next 3 days. Dangerously cold.
Dangerous.
Yeah. Right now it's -2. It feels like -15 to -25 when we get the winds out of the west. And our high today, just 5 above 0. So be careful.
Bundle it doesn't up. Look like it's windy right now.
No, it doesn't.
So
I don't see any leaves blowing out. Around.
No.
Because all the leaf blower guys blew them away weeks ago.
He did his job. He cleared the trees.
He did. A little bit later on, we'll be talking to former Madison Mayor Paul Soglin.
Yeah.
He will join us to talk about President's Day and what's happening on the political landscape.
Oh, yeah. What he thinks of, stopping government from functioning completely.
Right?
And you're just asking some outside guy, a billionaire, who doesn't have to worry about anything ever again. He's coming in here and just destroying government, doesn't understand government. I hope I've already impressed everybody last hour that he doesn't understand what's going on in government, how it works.
Elon?
Yeah, it's supposed to be.
Doesn't get it.
It's supposed to be a process. It isn't supposed to be something you can just do overnight. I did read an interview where they were talking to another tech person about all of this, and this is how they do it in the tech industry.
Hmm.
They go in very quickly, make the changes immediately.
Right.
But it doesn't work that way in government. It could never work that way, and we're going to see what happens. But, of course, no one knows what Elon is doing. That's the part that drives me crazy, right? I mean, there's
no oversight.
There's so many red flags
that
go up, and I'm sitting, wait a minute, he can't do this. You can't shut down a government agency just on a whim and his hot word is corrupt. Everything is corrupt. Anything he doesn't like, he describes as corrupt. That's a huge, major red flag. He is not looking at this in an impartial way to try to figure things out, how to improve things.
You know, I bet the factories that make red flags are doing really well right now.
Right?
There you go.
Yeah,
they're selling them out like crazy.
Yeah.
So anyway, this Tom Suozzi, he's a representative, he's a Democrat, and he decided to come out and try to ask and get some answers about anybody knowing anything about Elon. Anybody do a background check on this guy? Let's check cut 78 out.
People who come to work for the federal government, if you're a cabinet official, you have to go through these big hearings. A lot of people have to go through background checks. A lot of people have to go through security checks. They get security clearance. What kind of background checks or transparency into the background of Mr. Musk or the people that are working for him has been done? Do you know, Mr. DeBlois?
I don't know the background checks. I know they President Trump had an electoral mandate to create.
No, I understand
I think,
that.
No, he didn't.
He has his electoral mandate to hire cabinet officials, but they have to go through hearings and things like that. Mr. Sepp, do you know how these people were vetted?
No.
Mr. Ladwa, do you know how they were vetted?
No.
Ms. Kocielecek, do you know how they were vetted?
We have not looked at these specific individuals.
No.
Ms. Olson, do you know how they were vetted?
No.
What kind of access does Mr. Musk and his team have? What kind of changes have they been making to the computer programs? How many of those changes to computer programs are permanent? And how will that affect people going forward? Mr. DeBlois, what's he doing?
I don't know what he's doing.
You don't know.
I think
Mr.
he's looking
Seth, do you know what he's doing?
No.
Mr. Ladd, do you know what he's doing?
It would be inappropriate me for comment on
Ms. Kuchelicek, do you know what he's doing?
We have not looked at that.
Ms. Olson?
No.
Does anybody here know what they're doing? Does anybody know what kind of keystrokes changes they're making and they're permanent? Does anybody know what their backgrounds are? Does anybody know what they're doing with the information that they have and how they're using it? I agree with my colleagues who noted before that Mr. Littlejohn, who disclosed this information, is a criminal and deserves to be in jail, and I'm happy that he's been prosecuted. And anybody who has violated 6103 that takes private data and shares it with other people should be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. We in Congress have an obligation as an equal branch of government to monitor what's going on right now. We're all for finding cost efficiencies. I know Mr. Bean, for example, has the DOGE committee. That's a great thing for us to look for efficiencies, to root out waste, fraud, and abuse. But there's a thing, a pesky thing, called the United States Constitution, and it has the responsibilities of the United States Congress in the oversight and power of the purse. I yield back, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you.
There you go. Now, if that isn't frightening, I don't know what isn't, okay? Seriously, none of these people knew exactly what Elon was doing.
Nope.
Nothing at all.
No idea.
Any changes, nothing.
He can do anything he wants.
Why wasn't that clip played all the time in the last couple of days? Seriously.
Last couple of weeks.
I mean, this is just unbelievable to hear something like that. So Elon obviously doesn't know what he's doing, but... He proved it. He proved it. And yeah. And now they're trying to rehire the nuclear safety employees.
They're kind of important.
That they let go. President Trump's administration is struggling to contact recently laid off nuclear safety employees to inform them that they have been reinstated.
But they can't find their addresses, right?
They can't get a hold of everything. Them. They got rid of all the information.
Right. So they can't. They don't know how to get a hold of them to tell them they've been rehired. They're just trying to get the word out.
They didn't think to maybe save this information just or keep it there. You know, they could do this, but, you know.
Yeah, but they didn't.
Officials allegedly did not seem to realize that this agency oversees the U.S. stockpile of nuclear weapons.
Yeah, it seems like it's it should be a high priority.
It could be an important thing to know.
Oh, I'm sure it'll be fine. Yeah. They've got some interns that are still walking around, you know, volunteers.
Well, that's the bright side there, Gordy. Thank you. Oh, now, I mentioned that corruption is like the hot word for a lot, okay? Everything is corrupt. DOGE has been using AI systems to explore Social Security databases, but AI is prone to hallucinations. So using the AI system to, go through the Social Security databases, who knows what will happen that way.
They've got to stop giving AI LSD. It's not a good idea. Don't get it. Leave it alone.
Maybe it'll just be like, you know, we just want peace and love in the world. It'll listen to some nice music. Maybe that's what'll happen if we give AI psychedelics.
Fly Trans Love Airways.
Mm.
All right. Widespread cuts to Food and Drug Administration could significantly undermine the government's ability to identify the source of foodborne illnesses, something we should all, you know, hope that the Food and Drug Administration will warn us about. But now that we've cut that significantly and got rid of almost everybody in the department, that's okay. They're dodging bullets here, left and right. One of these days, it's going to land. You know, the bird flu is sitting out there infecting all of these animals.
Spreading around.
Spreading.
Yeah.
And they haven't done anything with that. Here's another point. In its rush to shut down U.S. aid, DOGE risks further harming the already fragile farm economy. And we've already seen that happen over and over and over again. Now, I've heard rumors that they're going to get rid of the food stamp program that these farmers depend on. They are the ones donating a lot of this money to the food reserves that we have out there, the food
supply
distribution centers. So that's going to happen. Reducing the CIA or FBI workforce in an era of asymmetric warfare when threats to the U.S. security can emerge from places most Americans have never heard of, maybe, as intelligence expert David Ignatius put it, the Trump administration's most dangerous misstep. And that's what they're doing.
Yeah, well,
all of this stuff.
Yeah, they're reducing CIA, FBI. They're going after everything with a meat cleaver.
I mentioned this. If anybody wants to attack the country, this is the time to do it.
Well, don't get. I'm just sending that message out.
Sending the message out there, right?
No. We don't want that.
All right.
It is 716. You can give us a call, 608-879-8255. That's 879-TALK, or just do it the easy way. Get on the Civic Media app and send us a text or a phone call. This portion of John and Gordy in the Morning is brought to you by Verlo Mattress. Their President's Day sale is ongoing, and you can get savings and support your dreams of having a Verlo mattress with long-lasting craftsmanship and unbeatable prices. In fact, you can save up to $250 or $500 or $850, depending on your choice of mattresses and also adjustable bases. They have you can save up to 50% on their adjustable bases. Check out their east side location or west side location. These offers are valid at those two locations. Also, free 0% financing available for 6, 12, or even up to 18 months. Go to Verlo.com. That's Verlo.com.
All right. We're continuing with the Musk expose here.
Yes.
You know,
there's
firing
so much.
People
there's so much
has a delayed effect. Two things. No one shuts down entire administrative offices, right? No one does that. It's ridiculous. But they're doing it, and people are accepting it, and I think a lot of the MAGAs appreciate that because they don't believe the government should have all these departments. Not in the 21st century,
right,
where the country has certainly grown since the founding. Anyway, and then second, Republicans consider this one of their biggest wish list items, claiming the Constitution doesn't allow for federal government agencies, right? Mm. Federal government is limited to what the Constitution says. Well, the rest is left up to the states or and the people. And the people have decided to make all these big departments because we have new industries, we have new things that we have to take care of and supervise.
Sure.
So all of these things are this is a delayed effect. If you get rid of people now, it's a delayed effect. We're going to feel this later on, and it's not going to be good for the economy.
No, it's not. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll talk to former Madison Mayor Paul Soglin. He's right around the corner. And we'll be back with more of John and Gordy in the Morning in just a few moments.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Man, dig this crazy pad. Man, it's a mad pad.
It is 92.7 WMDX, John and Gordy in the Morning at the pad.
Time to find out what's happening with the weather, and our Civic Media meteorologist, Brittany Merlot, joins us now. Good morning, Brittany.
Hi.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Well,
doing
all right. I don't know. I'm exhausted, you know. I mean, it was a very, very snowy weekend. We don't need this.
A lot of shoveling.
You know, I don't even know why we have snow during the winter anymore. Climate change. Don't we have climate change?
Yeah. How was your weekend, Brittany?
Yeah. Oh, my weekend was filled with so much fun. I went snowmobiling.
Finally, yes.
Yeah, I saw a bunch of snowmobilers out around
I did.
Here.
It crossed 12, Highway 12.
Right.
They were just crossing over it.
I know. Yeah, I saw them up
Luckily,
there.
They didn't have to slow down. They just sped right across Highway 12.
Yeah.
There was a little traffic break for each side. That was great.
Do you own a snowmobile?
Awesome. No, I don't, actually. I used to back in the day, but ended up selling it over the years, and now I just rent. But there's plenty of places up in the Northwoods that still have sleds available. I went last minute.
Mm-hmm.
They had some. It was awesome. The trails were packed. The businesses, the restaurants along the trails, oh my gosh, getting filled to the brim. So it was nice to see everybody out and about and supporting the areas up there, because we did not have our snowmobile trails open last year, but it's pretty cool. I live right off of one as well, and they're just speeding past, and it just gave me the bug, so I had to go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It looks like a lot of fun, a lot of pent-up frustration about not being able to go snowmobiling. You know?
Exactly, yes.
So isn't the Birkebeiner next weekend or this week sometime?
Yeah. That is Saturday the 22nd, I think, is their actual big American Birkebeiner race, where everyone's going to be there with the cowbells at the finish line.
Oh, yeah.
Downtown Hayward.
Are they going to have enough snow this year, or are they going to have to truck it in from Alaska or wherever they bring it in?
Well, as of right now, seriously, they changed the course last year. They were in a loop and cable or doing something ridiculous like that. Yeah. So as of right now, they're saying the full course from Cable to Hayward, downtown, it's good to go. They're looking at, I mean, they got, 5-6 inches of snow over the weekend as well. So added to that. But the only bad thing is we've got, what's today? Is the 22nd?
Yeah.
Oh, good. It's going to be before the warm-up. So we're going to hit some 40s on Monday and Tuesday.
All right.
Snow. So they'll be okay.
Yeah, it's going to be melting.
Yeah.
Okay. Perfect timing. This is great.
So in the meantime, just cold today and for the next couple of days, super cold.
And then warming trend. Fantastic.
Yeah, super, super cold. So highs today, 4 degrees. We'll be at 6 tomorrow, 9 on Wednesday. Then we'll get into the teens on Thursday, some 20s Friday, Saturday, and then those mid-40s potentially Monday, Tuesday. So all that snow will be gone.
All right.
Okay. Very good, Brittany.
Well, thank you.
Yay.
Yeah.
You're welcome. You guys enjoy the day. Stay warm.
You too.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, Brittany. Brittany Merlot, our Civic Media meteorologist.
Always good news. The headline right there, a warming trend is going to take place.
Yeah. Are you getting blinded by the sun now?
I am now.
Just made it over
there. Yeah, just rounded the corner of that building.
Well, let me go on to something here.
All right.
Let's tell you that this portion of the John and Gordy Show is brought to you by David J. Frank, your turnkey one-stop landscaping resource celebrating 65 years. They do it all, lawn care, flower care, trimming, shaping, pruning, and residential services, commercial services too, the largest landscape contractor in Wisconsin. Branches in Madison, Milwaukee, and Kenosha. Just go to davidjfrank.com. That's davidjfrank.com. John.
Let's talk again about the firings Musk is committing. I have this little cut here, cut 110, if we can hear this. And this is all about cutting federal workers.
As President Trump and Elon Musk escalate plans to downsize the federal government, confusion about who has a job and who doesn't. NBC News obtaining an email trying to unfire employees at the National Nuclear Security Administration, saying in part, the termination letters for some NNSA probationary employees are being rescinded. Officials admitting they do not have a good way to get in touch with those personnel. Musk telegraphing last week that he could falter in his effort to crush fraud, waste, and abuse.
We're moving fast, so we will make mistakes, but we'll also fix the mistakes very quickly.
The DOJ also terminating 20 immigration judges, including a Friday night firing of 18 recent hires, according to the union that represents them.
Yeah.
Its president, citing a backlog of millions of cases, called the firings baffling and nonsensical. This all comes after thousands of layoffs across several federal agencies. Lawyer Kate Royce fired last week after 6 months at the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau.
When you got that email, what went through your mind?
So I think my first emotion was grief, quickly followed by anger. I'm worried about paying rent in March. I'm worried about getting the health care that I need.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
Well, you know, it's just willy-nilly, whatever they want to do, right?
Mm-hmm. We got time for a quick phone call here. Let's go to the phones.
We have Musk on the line.
Musk.
This is not Musk. I was on the wrong computer.
You said it was Elon Musk is on the line. Good morning, Elon.
This is Dick giving us a call.
Oh, it's
well, hi, Dick.
Good morning, Dick.
Well, almost as bad. Real quick, I'm kind of wondering, you know, these people out that took the buyout too.
Yeah.
You see what's happened to them? They're dead beating them on the payoff.
Yeah. Is that
different
right?
Than the way he. Yes. And then I heard, I don't know if this is true, fact check me, but I could believe it, that Musk is trying to get one of these women that he's had a child with to move back to Texas because, guess why? The child support is less there.
Oh, my God. Really? I wonder if that's true. Wouldn't doubt it.
From Saturday Night Live, but yeah. I believe it could be true. And then I don't want to bother you with asking the mayor about that weed-whacking stuff last Monday or Tuesday.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you were talking about that.
That's right.
About
John Nolan.
I guess
right?
I wanted to get it in before the snow is what I figured. Okay. So I got my answer.
All right. Okay, good enough.
All right, but that's what I had.
All right. Appreciate All right. it, Dick. Thank
Dick,
you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate that call. Yeah, we do have Madison Mayor Paul Soglin coming in after the Midwest Farm Report.
How come no one, you know, the news media doesn't seem like any of this stuff is a red flag to them? Because you close down major departments of the government,
right.
People are unemployed, they're let go, they're given the fork in the road statements to either, you know, let them know they're quitting or not. All of this stuff is happening before our very eyes, but they don't seem to understand that we need all of these people. They're not just doing nothing, like Alon suggests. They're actually doing work for the government and for us.
Yes. Again, Mayor Paul Soglin, former Mayor Paul Soglin, will join us in just a few minutes on John and Gordy in the Morning.
To the campus and all across Dane County, we've got Madison Talking 92.7 WMDX.
We're here in the morning with you, keeping you company.
Happy President's Day.
Hoping to calm everybody's nerves out there. You know, everything is collapsing around us, but we're here holding up the fort, right?
Yep, we're holding your hand through it all. It's all going to be just fine.
It is.
It's going to all work out okay.
You know, right. You're so uplifting. That is fantastic.
It's reassuring.
You know, let's get some more uplifting information. As our special guest, former Mayor Paul Soglin is on the line right now.
Good morning,
with
Paul.
A lot of positive things to tell us this morning, Paul.
I'm not so sure about uplifting or positive.
Oh, I know.
You should hang up right now.
Oh, no.
Well, now, we were trying to depress everybody earlier with all this information about what Doge is doing. What's your input in it? What's your thought on this?
I think it is just the first act.
Yeah.
I think it's just the setup. It's designed to do what it's doing. One is to get people out of the government that Trump and Trump 2, that's Elon, went out of the way when they start Act 2. And it's also designed to rile up the American people.
What will Act 2 look like?
Act 2 is the coup.
Mm.
I think this is deliberately being set up, and that's why he particularly wants people loyal to him in the military to suspend the Constitution. He's already said that if you're saving the country, you can break the law.
Right.
He's sending a message to the Supreme Court, expecting them to back him up. And this is how he'll in effect shut down the Congress. He wants people out in the streets. The more unruly, the more riotous, the better. And then he suspends the Constitution and does exactly what he's been telling us for the last 12 years. This is his intent.
Yeah, it's kind of surprising so far that we haven't seen the kind of protests that I would have expected at this point, watching everything happen and, you know, all the workers, all the federal employees, these dedicated individuals who've been keeping the government running smoothly for all of this time. You know, all I had to do was do audits.
And protecting us.
Yes, yes, protecting us. And as somebody mentioned here in, let me see a text, it's called the Promotion of the General Welfare and Domestic Tranquility. That's part of the Constitution that they're violating at this point. So, yeah, I'm surprised we haven't seen total unrest, but I suppose that's coming, right?
It'll occur in the kinds of areas we've seen before, over a woman's right to control her body, over the illegal detention of people who immigrated to the United States. But I think it'll expand. Mm-hmm. It'll expand as there's actually food shortages. He's got absolutely no problem with bird flu, and he's got absolutely no problem with the fact that he's decimated all the federal agencies that could do something effectively to stop a pandemic, which might not be as bad as COVID, but would certainly be devastating, both in terms of health and in terms of food resources. I mean, he's got absolutely no hesitancy to provoke people. He's probably disappointed it hasn't occurred to this date.
So, Paul, today is supposed to be a national day of protest. There's going to be protests in Washington, D.C. and in all the state capitals. At least that's what we're hearing. But, of course, you know, it's early in this protest. There hasn't been that much uprising yet.
Yeah, throughout the country. So, yeah.
But we'll see how it all plays out later on today. We'll see. I guess it's set for noon here at the state capitol. And we'll see where it goes from there.
The beauty for him, the beauty of it is that usually when you have a coup, a junta takes over or something of that sort, there's a downside. The downside is if you fail, you're probably going to be found guilty of treason and executed. But he figures the worst that's going to happen is, you know, he'll get a slap on the wrist. Why? Because he has this complacent, toady Republican majority in both houses of Congress. And that, I think, is where the future of the country lies. It's whether there's going to be a handful of members of the Republican Party in both houses of Congress who at some point are going to step up and say, no, we're not. We're not going to be compliant. We're not going to go along with this.
Well, I know that there's like two senators, Democratic senators so far, that are announcing that they're not running for office again, which may set up, you know, even more Republicans elected to the Senate. And we're watching all of this happen with the departments that I think most of the American public are unfamiliar with, you know, what the administrative process is, how it keeps things rolling smoothly along, the fact that these individuals, these government workers, actually have a job to do to make all of this stuff work. And when that's all gone, there is going to be a repercussion. But I don't think a lot of people understand, you know, the problem of doing away with all these departments and all these individuals who've dedicated their lives to those departments. And it's really going to hit hard when they finally get to health care in this country. I think that's the one that's going to set this whole thing on fire.
Well, let's just look at how Musk and his posse are even perhaps more ignorant than the general public in terms of the consequences of what these folks who are, in effect, protecting us do. So you've got thousands of tons of radioactive material that are left over going back to the testing in the 1950s and the uses in nuclear power plants. And That stuff is live. It is dangerous, and it needs monitoring. And they were perfectly willing to dismiss the folks who do that.
Yeah.
With the Center for Disease Control, CDC, you've got the exact same issue, same problem in terms of, you know, how do we respond to the next pandemic, which may be nothing more than a really bad year of the flu, but we're already seeing problems with bird flu, and there's the problems in Texas with all those kids who are contracting measles.
Mm-hmm.
So most people would try to dismantle the government. Well, let's put it this way. This has been tried before. Ronald Reagan was determined to do it. Bush, too, was determined to do it. And in both instances, they failed to dismantle the government and destroy our lives, because once they came in with the chainsaw attitude that Musk and Trump are wielding, they came to realize there are very important services being provided to protect us on a daily basis, whether it's from radioactive nuclear waste, whether it's to maintaining highways and bridges. And let's not forget all the situations we've had in recent years of, for example, bridges collapsing, with tragically people on them at the time.
Right.
This is what government does. And, you know, use a local example. Here locally, we plow the streets. Those are public employees. And that means we have access to food, to hospitals, to getting to work.
That's right. Mm-hmm. You know, I always compare it to like a corporation, because you don't shut down the corporation if you're having an audit. You know, you just don't, and you don't lay off all your employees when you do it. And that's exactly what they're doing to the federal government. It's like a business. They're doing their job. They're supplying a service to everybody, just like a business would be. Businesses don't shut down. They don't fire their employees and ask them to come back later or retire early, because they're conducting an audit just to kind of keep the book straight. They've already got an auditor.
I can't remember how long it was ago, 20, 30 years, there was a Chainsaw Al. From Sunbeam. And this is real interesting that you raise the comparison between the government and the private sector. The first thing to remember is that when this chainsaw attitude has been used to dismantling and so-called attempts to improve production in private companies, it doesn't work. It's nothing to debate. It does not work. You in effect are decimating the very people and the very parts of production that is what makes you successful. And the private sector no longer does that unless it is planning to, in effect, cannibalize, in effect, cherry pick, destroy the business, and you know, be left with the cash and nothing else.
Right.
So first, they're trying or attempting to try a process that failed in the private sector. But the second thing is this. If you take any kind of activity, any at all, if it's profitable, the private sector wants it. They want government out of it, which means if it's a loser, if it's a turkey, and it's what I refer to as the turkey theory of government, then government gets stuck with it. By the very definition of what we expect government to do, it is a loser. It could be public transit. It could be providing safe, healthy water. It's all the things we've been talking about. And so when you start taking a chainsaw to government, you're basically dealing with what's critical to preserving life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. If there was a profit in it, the private sector would have done it a long time ago. And let me just add that in certain places, whether it's a parking system like Chicago or it's drinking water. If there's money to be made into it, the private sector is moving there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Talking to you, former Madison Mayor Paul Soglin, you can give us a call, 608-879-8255, 879-TALK.
Well, I compare it to National Institute of Health.
Yeah.
You know, they've given all of the responsibilities to universities across our country to do a lot of the research, a lot of the legwork first, because as you mentioned, the government isn't here to make a profit. In fact, there's a lot of losses in all of these investigations and all of these attempts to come up with new drugs. The pharmaceutical industry doesn't want to do that. They don't want to spend billions of dollars on something that won't pan out. So they leave it up to the universities to do all of the research. And when they finally come up with something, anything, the drug companies take over at that point, kind of fine-tune it, and then market it. So that's what's happened. And if we go to the private sector, they're not going to go through the work. They're not going to go through the experimentation or spend the kind of money for the public good.
And keep in mind, when the government is successful, for example, look at all the technology that was developed both by the military in terms of wars, which led to incredible innovations in healthcare, which are now used in the public sector, particularly dealing with surgical procedures, or what happened in the space race, Mr. Musk. Well, all that technology is out there for the private sector. They got it for free.
Yep, yep. That's right. Well, we're talking to Mayor Paul Soglin. Hang on a second. We will be back with more.
Yeah. Hold on, Paul.
In just a moment on John and Gordy in the Morning.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
WMDX, John and Gordy in the Morning, our special guest Paul Soglin. We'll be back with that conversation in just a moment.
But first, we want to remind you this portion of John and Gordy in the Morning brought to you by Verlo Mattress, where they're having a President's Day sale. That's right, it's happening right now at both the East Side and the West Side locations. Free 0% financing available for 6, 12, or even up to 18 months. You can save big bucks, $250, $500, or even $850 off their factory direct prices. Yes, the President's Day sale ongoing at Verlo Mattress. Just go to verlo.com. Over to you.
Let's get back to Paul Soglin.
Yes.
You know, let's talk about what's happening worldwide, because we're hearing Trump talk about Gaza as the Riviera of the Middle East, and I don't think that's going to set well with a lot of Middle Eastern countries at all. And I think we have gone through something like this before, and we have seen a backlash against the West. Well, what's your input on that?
Well, I think the whole Middle East, the whole international set of policies, from the attacks on Gaza to Elon Musk's recent, not Musk, what's the vice president's name?
Vance.
J.D. Vance, yes.
I can't remember which of these guys is elected and which isn't. J.D. Vance's trip to Europe is to start sorting out who in the next year is going to be our friends and who's going to be our foes in terms of what Trump does domestically. He knows that some of these very conservative governments in Central Europe can be allies and supporters, starting with Hungary. And my guess is he probably would like to disrupt liberal or progressive governments all over the world and see in their next elections governments attuned to his kind of, let's call it fascism. in office.
Yeah.
So that he's got more support, both in terms of his international moves, but also in terms of what he plans to do domestically here in the U.S.
Well, one of the craziest things that happened was J.D. Vance meeting with a right-winger in Germany. I guess, you know, the Economist reporter Tom Newtall reported that German press reports that J.D. Vance met with Alternative for Deutschland, or AfD, co-leader Alice Weidel after his speech in Munich. And Vance just blew off the Chancellor of Germany a meeting with him, which is just shocking.
Yes.
Well, and this goes back to when Merkel was the chancellor, and one of Trump's greatest critics 8 years ago, he'd like nothing more than a right-wing government installed in Germany. So he gets less pushback, whether it's, again, taking over Gaza or his designs on the Panama Canal.
Well, speaking of international relations, what about Ukraine? Looks like that's going to be decided between Russia and the U.S., and Ukraine wants a seat at the table. And
but they're not getting a seat at the table.
They're not getting it yet.
Yeah,
he's going to structure the deal, and then he's going to have something very tantalizing for much of the world, which is he's going to be able to come forward and say, I have a solution for peace. Of course, the price of that solution for peace is going to be whatever he gives away in terms of Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
And that puts everybody, I mean, you know, the author, the one who first steps forward, is the one who's got the advantage. That's why he's not going to talk to Zelensky and find out what Zelensky's terms are for peace. Do that and turn around and say, yeah, we have a solution. Well, Putin won't buy that. So, yeah, in terms of the diplomatic maneuvering going on here, Zelensky will be the last one to find
out. Well, we did see this happen before, though. Trump negotiated with the Taliban instead of the Afghan government. Remember that? That was still breathtaking.
Yeah, it had a disastrous result.
Yes.
It had a disastrous result. For which he blamed, he left it in Biden's hand, and when it got implemented as Trump structured it, he placed all the blame on Biden. He's, you know, that whole business about billions of dollars worth of military equipment.
That's right. And of course, you know, he's also threatening to have tariffs on, Denmark, right? Because of Greenland. So, he's definitely serious about doing something about that as well, which isn't, you know, these are our friends. These are our NATO partners that we're talking about here, and he treats them as though there is no such thing as NATO. Of course, he doesn't want to be a part of NATO, actually, so I guess that works out for him. But, you know, we're not making friends anytime soon with our best
neighbors. He's not afraid to throw his own supporters under the bus.
Yeah.
You take agriculture, take farmers.
Yeah.
You've got two things going on here. First, if he imposes tariffs, it is going to result in great difficulty for American farmers to ship produce products overseas, commodities. Yeah. And it's going to devastate the agricultural sector. Secondly, what is there, $2 billion worth of U.S. agriculture that goes into the U.S. aid program?
Yes.
Paul, unfortunately, we're out of time. We got to leave it right there.
Okay, guys.
Madison Mayor Paul Soglin, appreciate it. Tomorrow we'll be talking with...
Yes, great talk to you.
Talk to Allison Madison tomorrow about the Wisconsin Salts Wish Program. Saltwise Program. Okay. Thank you, Sam. Stephanie Miller's next. Have a great day.
The national news cycle never stops.
but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.